How we grow in wisdom and discernment. Why wisdom and discernment matters. Everyone gains knowledge with age, but not everyone gains wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what is right. Discernment is knowing when how to apply it. Proverbs teaches that wisdom protects us from the poor decisions, the harmful influences, and the foolish choices. I've made some foolish choices in my past. I'm sure we can all relate. And I've been influenced more times than I care to relate or count for. So we understand what looks good, but is harmful, what looks difficult, but is actually right. Let us pray before we get into this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of gathering. Lord, we thank you for the people in here, Father, and I just invite the Holy Spirit to pour out on every single person here, Father. We ask if there's an ear, to let him hear, and if there's an eye, let him see, Father. We ask that this wisdom, Father, that is in the Proverbs, Father, the wisdom we gain is your word, Father. And as we gain more of you, your wisdom, Father, the better our lives will be, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you will just guard my lips and protect this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. If you turn with me, Proverbs 23. Some might be ahead of the game. Proverbs 23:1-3. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. Put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. That's an interesting verse when talking. Not many of us really sit down with rulers anymore. We don't have the kings. Some of us are lucky to meet presidents, but this verse talks about losing self-control when tempted with luxury or desire. Not much you, but I've walked past a few dealerships before and saw a few trucks that I thought I could see myself in a luxurious truck just as like that, but I have to control some of my appetites sometimes. So people who seem to have all things together, but under the surface, there's chaos, or it was not what it seems. A lot of times we have these faces, we come in with them too. Everything's great on the outside. How you doing? I'm doing great. Sometimes we aren't doing great. So we use that discernment to see past that. Solomon used an interesting note here. Put a knife to your neck. Now it's a strange euphemism to us right now, but commonly we'd hear something like, bite your tongue, or be careful what you're doing. There's consequences. So he's saying more than being careful, but look out for what you're doing. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on what is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. I love Jewish poetry. If you're engulfed in it, it's amazing, and it means the things you don't even realize that they're talking about. And we'll talk a little more about that here. So the riches are uncertain. We all know this. They're temporary. They seem real for a while, but look what happens. We see this between famous people. People are famous for this as well. Things seem good. It seems like everything is good together, but they're miserable inside. Something's missing. A void that can't be explained. Something that they just keep consuming, but the worldly items, they don't fill that void. Discernment reminds us that money can disappear quickly. Wisdom would focus on things that last. Things like character, built on integrity, strengthening relationships, your faith. And I love the description that Solomon brings on this about the bird, because this is the ancient language there, and he uses this, and it shows how fleeting money can be. It flies away just as soon as you get it. We all know that. Our paycheck comes in, and the paycheck goes out. And it's almost like, where did it go? My son had an interesting lesson about money. He saved his money, saved and saved and saved his money, thought he was rich. By gosh, he had $100. He thought $100 might have been $1,000. And what did he do? Okay, son, it's time to, let's go spend it. So that's what we did. We went to the store. And when we went to the store, he put all these things on there. He's like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this. I'm going to put there. And then pretty soon, bless that lady, that clerk, she has all this tray full of toys and stuff. And my son whips out his $100 bill and goes, it's going to cover it. Well, my son had to learn about taxes, had to learn about pricing. So what is on the actual price tag isn't actually the price. So she rings up all this stuff, and when you know it, it comes up to around $123. He looks at the $100 bill, and he goes, well, Dad? And I told him, we're going to learn something here today. You have to take some stuff back. You can't have all this. And he goes, well, okay, fine. So he takes some stuff back, takes a few things back. What am I going to do? What am I going to pick? So he picks these things. And the lady, so she's so patient. She was watching this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So he takes a few items back, comes back. Lady rings it up, $115. You can see the discouragement on his face now, starting to realize, like, are you going to bail me out, Dad, or what's going on here? No, son, we're going to learn this the hard way, and everyone in line is going to watch this. So he takes more things back. Finally comes back, $100.58. Okay, son, because there's five people behind us and we need to get this going, here's 58 cents. I bailed them out 58 cents. And he learned, though. Money is fleeting. So don't toil to acquire wealth. We do this a lot. We all work hard, and we're hardwired in this culture to make it, to earn it, to make it big. What is that, the American dream? But that should not be the life's goal. Anyone here with enough gray hair, I have some myself, will say that money can't buy you the best memories. And some of your best moments in your life are when you had nothing, when you were striving and scraping and pulling by with the best that you had. And those were the best times that you could remember. Not when you had it all, but when you had something to strive for. And that's what we want to hold on to. The striving for is God, the missing part. We are told elsewhere in the scripture that we cannot have both God and money. So turn with me with Matthew 6, verse 19. And I'm turning the newspapers with you, so. Do not lay up, this is Jesus speaking, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, treasures there can mean other things than money. It's anything that takes in the place of that more than God. So what are we living for? How many Christians today are doing the same thing over and over and over again? Get up, go to work, save. Get up, go to work, save. Maybe a vacation, maybe the new boat, I'm hoping. But As Christians, our body belongs to the Lord.
Our resources belong to the Lord.
And God gives us some money. He gives us jobs. He gives us opportunities to serve him with it. So church, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying vacations are wrong. I'm not saying boats are bad. But what are you living for? What are we getting up day after day? Is the person that you've been wanting to witness the gospel to or preach the gospel to, are they still around? Is there still time? Pastor Sean talked about the thing that's most valuable to us right now. And as we get older, it only seems more valuable. Time. You have time to do it. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Go do it. Expose the vulnerability of your parts, the weaknesses. And that only strengthens your character. And it improves your faith. We're back to Proverbs 23:17. Sorry, I should have told you to put your bookmark there. Wife told me last time we were flipping all over the place when I was doing it. So, Proverbs 23:17. Don't let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. We see this all the time. The grass looks greener on the other side. Keeping up with the Joneses. Discernment would recognize that some lifestyles may look attractive, but they lead to regret. Looks good for a moment. Looks like whatever they're doing over there is great, and I just, maybe if I just jump over there in that lawn and everything will be great. But you find out the lawn's dying, or you find out the sprinkler system was buried in all the sediment, and now you can't find it. You don't. Speaking from personal experiences there. So wisdom would ask, what is the long-term outcome of this path? Proverbs 23:29-35. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look for the wine when it is red, when it's sparkling in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Yours may say adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea. Or like the one who lies at the top of the mast saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? This verse describes a lot about alcohol and describes alcohol pretty vividly. The point it's making is a lot broader than alcohol or drinking. Anything that controls us. It's speaking of habits, substances, impulses, circumstances that come about. It prevents us from thinking clearly. And I've noticed in some of my teachings that people who have stopped drinking or stopped the abuse or the substance or habits, whatever that keeps them from thinking clearly, I notice a couple things. It takes them days, weeks, months, sometimes years to get back to where they belong, thinking clearly. And it robs you of your wisdom. Proverbs 24:1-2. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their heart devises violence. And their lips talk of troublemaking. It could be tempting to admire people who gain success or success dishonestly. It could be tempting. It could be admiring. But don't have that in your heart for it. My sons, At the age of 3, I don't have to teach my sons how to lie. They were doing it just fine at 3 years old. Did you spill that milk?
Nope.
You're the only one here. I didn't have any milk.
Wasn't me.
I have to teach my son how to tell the truth. We were in Home Depot the other day, and my youngest had to learn a very, very hard lesson. We were playing in the plumbing section. Something broke in my house, which is typical now. And I'm in there and messing around, and they're playing with the key things, and he really, really, really wanted this keychain that had a loop. And I thought nothing of it. I picked up my things, and I put it in the bag, and okay, let's go. And we check out, everything's good, and then as I see him walk out the door, I see it in his left arm there, and I go, whoa, 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 what is that? He turns around, what's what? What is that on your arm? Well, I saw it, and I really wanted it, and I took it, and I go. I had my other sons wait right there, and I said, you and I, we're gonna go back to the clerk. Seems to be lessons all the time in my house. We go back to the clerk. The clerk is like, what's going on? Oh, hey, what's going on? My son has, like, something he'd get, I get back to you. My son, head down, takes it off, says, I took this from you. Okay. He goes, oh, well, thank you for giving it back. Appreciate it. Instant tears in my son's eyes, filled with embarrassment, a little bit of regret. Is now in a full meltdown. He knows what he did was wrong. We're walking out the door, and before we go out the door, I kneel down to him. And I say, son, even though you really wanted that, Jesus tells us we cannot steal. And he looked at me and he goes, just crying. Come here. Give him a hug, and then we proceeded to find the other two that are missing now. And I make myself out of the Home Depot line with two happy boys and one very sad boy. But embracing that, your son, when you or those who are having kids or will have kids, it's no different than you coming to your father and saying you did something wrong. No different in the embrace, how much more. He's wanting you to come. Yet we sometimes feel we have to do it on our own. We'll come to that in a bit. So discernment sees beyond the appearances. Better to take the hard road, even when it doesn't feel better. Many times we're on paths in our lives. Everyone who's coming here has a different storm, a different path. And sometimes the easy road seems good, looks good, easier on my feet, my knees, everything. But we understand that sometimes the hard road is where we need to be, where we need to go. And we know it deep down, but somehow it fights between the flesh and the spirit all the time. And so from my own experience, I sleep better knowing that I've taken the hard road, even though I really don't want to. Wisdom would ask, is there success built on integrity or deception? Is what looks like the appearance of good really deceiving? Who's the master deceiver? Who's the little g, the little god of this world? He comes to deceive, kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's been at this for a very long time. And just like every angel was assigned to each and every one of you when you were put on this earth, there was also an enmity with that, with the opposite side, knowing your very weaknesses. Your very uncomfortable weaknesses that we all experience all the time. And we can't face that on our own. This is what wisdom is starting to tell us, starting to bring to the surface. Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I love the imagery here. One, I'm not a carpenter, but I can imagine a few things, like for those who in here who are, a cornerstone. you need something to base off of. So I can appreciate that. But it's more. It's about building a life, like building a relationship, building a business, building a family. And how are we doing today with building families in America? Not so good, but why? Because we've gotten away from the wisdom of God's word. It's as simple as that. No overcomplicating anything. We have thrown wisdom to the curb most times. For those who are older, sometimes you look at us younger folks and you go, I remember when I was that age, I did all that. I want to tell you something. I have a story for you. But what do us young people do? I got it. I want to do it myself. You don't know nothing. As you get older, you start realizing that. Yet this proverb says that wisdom, a house is built. This refers to anything that you're building. And with God's word, we begin to fill those rooms with a lasting and meaningful riches. There is so much wisdom in God's word that if we apply it, we start to see it in our own lives. In fact, I didn't know that being a husband slash dad, that I was going to be a doctor, a plumber, a lawyer, a surgeon, an electrician, a professor, a landscaper, and a coach. The list can go on. But I had no idea how to do any of those things right, or anywhere I wanted to start. But with wisdom, I found those before me who did it. Or, thank you, YouTube, for countless hours sometimes, how to understand it and apply it. Gather the wisdom and understand what happens, and then put that in your life. Proverbs 24, verse 5 through 6. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. Ooh. But with wise guidance you wage your war. The important truth here, no one succeeds alone. Discernment recognizes when we need advice. You seek out God's word first. How many of us go to our friend first before we go to God? How many of us go to YouTube first before we go to God? Seek out God's word, and God will meet you in his word. All the answers are there. Nothing new underneath the sun has happened here that isn't happening now, that we can't apply it. 24, verse 16. Jump down to 16. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. Oh, sorry, did I say 16? That's before. The righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The righteous fall 7 times and rise again. Wisdom doesn't mean it's perfection, but we learn from its mistakes, and failures can be a teacher. I remember a few stories now about my son, my middle one now, who has a hard time losing. And he takes loss personally to the point where he gets distraught, curls up down, puts his hands over his feet, and just puts his head down. Can't understand it. We did everything right. We practiced. We played hard. We ran the plays right. But we still failed. I said, son, you're going to fail. You're going to fail again. And I want you to fail. I don't want you to succeed the first time, because then you won't try harder the next time. And so, teacher, failure has been his best teacher. The difference between wise and foolish people is persistence. How are you taking after it?
How are you recovering when you are knocked down? Do you get back up? Do you roll over? Where's the persistence? What do you pursue?
Proverbs 24:17-18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and displease him, and he turn away his wrath from you, from him. True wisdom produces humility and compassion. None of us deserve God's love or his forgiveness. Don't take on the attitude toward your enemy, because you may begin to separate yourself from your enemy. And we begin to think that we're better than him. But we're not better than him or her. And we'll come to understanding why that's more significant, because having compassion for your enemy is what produces those real fruits of the Spirit. Proverbs 25:6-7. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say to you, come up here. Then you should be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom your eyes have seen. Don't push yourself forward seeking recognition. Let your character speak for you. True honor is given, and it's not demanded here. Proverbs 25:8-10. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it exposes your shame and your reputation be ruined. Acting impulsively in disagreements often creates embarrassment later. We can all relate to getting a little upset, jumping to the gun, you know, not understanding the full story. What is the wise response? Wisdom slows us down before reacting. Teaches us to take a step back from the problem and look at it from all the angles possible. Thus we act out fleshly immediately in its return. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in the settings of silver. Again, I love the poetry. Think of it, settings of silver. Apples of gold. Wisdom uses words to encourage, guide, comfort, and correct kindly. Discernment asks before speaking, is this helpful? Is what I'm doing helpful in this situation? Is this the right moment for it? Probably the biggest one for all of us. As we read Proverbs 25:21, we get to understand that a little bit more. Like one who takes away the garment in the cold weather. Well, I jumped ahead. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And Paul quotes this in Romans. And we'll read Romans here. Turn with me to Romans 12:20. I think it gives us the best description of this. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And I like this, heaping coals on the fire, on his head. What that imagery is depicting there is he's going to feel terrible. Terrible. Think of the person that dislikes you. Dislikes you completely. Doesn't like you one bit. And you don't like them. But if you go out and do something nice for them, completely nice, that person is going to feel completely distraught. Coals on his head about how he felt, about how he acted, about what he was thinking of you as a person. And that changes that perspective now of him, even toward you, even toward the next person he dislikes. Be kind even to your enemies, and the Lord will reward you. Proverbs 25:28. Hopefully you got it bookmarked now. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now, in ancient cities, ancient times, they used walls to protect them. They used to protect them from thieves, from raiders, from all kinds of evil. And there was only one entry in the doorway, right? And so if you didn't have any walls, you would have all these things either robbed from you, taken from you, or you had to start all over again. So in ancient times, having walls around you was a sense of protection, sense of boundary between you and the world. And a man who does not have self-control is like a city with no walls. He is then vulnerable to attacks from the devil, attacks from people, attacks from situations, attacks from you name it. Insert whatever it is. And so the vulnerability of us is displayed there. And the enemy knows that too. When you're without walls, when you're without God, he takes on that moment of opportunity and he's at your front gate, knocking you on the door and taking the things that belong to you, your peace. So how do we do that? How do we build better walls with God's word, with his wisdom? And the stuff that's void in our lives that this world can't fill, no matter what the things we accumulate and take on and bring in, we seem to keep doing more of it. And we bring it from outside the walls back into our walls. And pretty soon, we stop maintaining the walls. We stop reading God's word. They start breaking down little by little, piece by piece. And with God's wisdom, with God's word, we help bring that back up, that wisdom, the clarity that brings forth compassion and humility, which is also the fruits of the Spirit that begin. So in closing, as you walk today, as you grow in the word, become more Christ-like. Use God's graces, because you never know when you're going to be a help being a plumber, a doctor, a lawyer, an electrician, a coach, a referee, policeman, and yes, a fireman. You never know when you're going to need God. And the more we have of God's word and wisdom in our life, the more we can battle and take on this world and help others as well. Even young ones. So in closing, will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank each and every person for making it through this door today, Father. And I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to stand before these beautiful people, Father, and call them my brothers and sisters. Lord God, I ask that you will watch over each family member here, Father. And if there are any people hurting, Father, any people that need guidance, counsel, wisdom, Father, I pray, Lord, wisdom and counsel and guidance into their lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit, send upon every single person here, Father, as they walk and depart into their extended families as well. May these people be lifted up, Father. May the good graces of you and the mercies of God fall upon this church, the congregation, this town, this community, and the nation, Lord. I also pray for Pastor Sean, Father, as he goes on his trip, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you will just bless him, allow the time that he needs, and bless him, Father, for his spirit. Thank you, Lord, for them. In Jesus' name we pray, and the God's people said, amen.